our last piece before we break for lunch, we're calling sustained by small, wise efforts. And this is where we will get to meet and hear from different groups in the Bay Area that are engaged in putting their practice, focusing some of their Dharma practice into efforts of engagement. I'm introduce in a moment Carrie, who will introduce the various representatives of the groups. But I just want to point out something that's probably evident to you if you've been engaged at all in with others in practice. You know, the Buddha talked about refuge in the Sangha. As he said, good friends are the whole of the holy life. And it really makes a difference when we are wanting to express our care and our love for the earth, to know that we're not doing it alone. And it changes from being a lonely, kind of scary perspective to one of connection and joy. So as you hear these different groups and representatives of the groups, you might consider not only it being something good to do, but something that will nourish you to do if something that's mentioned touches you and says, hey, that might be good to connect with others and put my energy into something where I'm feeling that connection of Sangha. So here to introduce the different groups is Carrie Nelson, who I said at the beginning of the day really is the main energy that help create this day and so many things around ecology and Dharma here at Spirit Rock. She's, as many people who sat retreats know, she's a wonderful retreat manager for yogis up the hill, and she's also a workshop facilitator. She's a graduate of Peace and Conflict Studies at UC Berkeley, and worked with civil society groups in the U.S. and Southern Africa over two decades. And she offers One Small Difference and One Small Planet workshops. She has a website, placeforpeace.org. She helps start about a half a dozen affinity groups, including Spirit Rock's Green Group, which is a very important group of staff here that keeps us on track for being as green an organization as possible. And she was also part of the Dedicated Practitioners Program here at Spirit Rock, a trained instructor in Qigong and mindfulness-based stress reduction. And I did a part of a workshop over a course of a number of weeks with Carrie and some of the people from our Berkeley community. And found inspiration in connecting with others and just being guided towards keeping this as a forefront in my own practice. So please welcome Carrie, and she'll introduce the others.
This handheld mic around. You'll go about that. So I will just do a quick introduction, and I'm somebody who needs to read my notes. I may know everything I've done, but that doesn't mean I'm going to remember it while I'm talking to you. So, and I did just want to do a little introduction here. So I am Carrie, and a very proud member of the Spirit Rock Green Group. There are several of us here in the room, and actually right now, can you all just raise your hands? We have Willie and Beth and Betsy and myself. And John is somewhere off working. You know, one thing is we all work here. So getting us all in the same room together is not always an easy task. I just wanted to start with a few remarks. And I'll start with a quote from Francis Moore-LePay, who amongst other things wrote Diet for a Small Planet. And she said, "One of the metaphors that my daughter and I use a lot is a drop in the bucket. We're just a drop in the bucket, and that's meaningless, people say. But we say, if you have a drop, if you have a bucket, those raindrops fill up very fast. Being a drop in the bucket is magnificent. And the problem is we cannot see the bucket. But there are all these people all over the world who are creating this bucket of hope." So, as James said, the title of this session is Sustaining Ourselves Through Small Wise Efforts. And I do want to appreciate the effort that it took for you to come here and be here today. It does really take an effort to even get to this room. And, you know, we all have busy lives and a lot of invitations and a lot of possible places to be putting our energies. So thank you very much for being here and being part of this day. And we really feel it. So as you see, there's seven people here, and we represent what happens when you take small wise efforts, and for the planet in particular. So each person here represents a different Buddhist group that is in the Bay Area engaged in climate change action. And if we had done this panel a year ago, only three of us would be up here. And so four groups actually formed within the last year. So I think that's really not only exciting, but significant. And it's part of what's, of course, happening all over the country, both in the Buddhist communities and in communities throughout the world, you know. So it's not just Buddhists who are showing up, obviously. This afternoon, Aya Santusika is going to share a lot more about how being part of Sangha sustains action, so I'm not going to go into that at all. But I did think I would just very briefly ground us each into our personal, you know, just close your eyes for a minute and come into yourself and just appreciate appreciate being here and just reflect for a moment on any kind of action that you've taken recently in support of the planet or in support of communities impacted by climate change. Animals, beings. And if for some reason nothing comes to mind, then appreciate that, again, you've shown up here today, and that is part of taking supportive action. So, much appreciation for your drops. You can open your eyes, and we'll get going. So, let me just introduce each person. So I'll represent the Spirit Rock Green Group. So next to me is Helga. Helga will actually come last because she's going to explain the climate ribbon table. And Helga is here with the Spirit Rock Community Climate Change Group, which is distinct from the Spirit Rock Green Group. We'll explain that. Next to me is Sean Munding, who's here with the Green Sangha of Insight Meditation Center at Berkeley. And Betsy is next to him, and she's actually representing Hakusho, who has a bad cold and could not make it today, but he's with the Green Gulch Ecosattvas. And let's see. Then we've got, Devi Perry with Green Sangha, Aya Santusika with BCAN, the Buddhist Climate Action Network, and Susan Orr with the Sacramento Climate Sangha. So here we are all together, and I think we'll start with rolling the drum. Sean, do you want to start?
Sure.
Okay.
Hello. My name's Sean Munding, and we started a green group for Insight Meditation Center Berkeley about 6 months ago with James Beres as our guiding teacher. And I think, I think there's eight of us now that meet every 2 weeks in Emeryville. And we've been doing a lot of educating ourselves around what's happening with the planet. We took Carrie's course, and we're doing the Eco-Sattva training. And we're also getting involved with 350.org and Pachamama and all the organizations around the Bay Area that are doing wonderful things. So we're really trying to look to where action is being done and learn from what's been done before and try to join in the efforts of all the organizations that are already moving things forward, which, of course, we've seen just lately that so much is happening. We almost can't keep track of all the good news lately, which is a bit of a change. And we're open. We meet every 2 weeks in Emeryville, and we have room, and we're open for more members. We'd love to have any of you and all of you. We may need a bigger space, but yeah.
Do you want to say anything?
Thank you.
Actions that you're participating in?
Oh, I think the upcoming things are 350.org is really involved in the Paris Climate Summit. And so we're looking at supporting them for, I think there's a November 21st action, a big march that's happening. And I think also October 14th in San Francisco, we're all going to be meeting together and joining. Is that Greenpeace? I think, yeah. Greenpeace. Then December 12th, I think, is another big action that is happening all over the world after the climate summit. So there's kind of meetings coming up that are helping everyone figure out what to do, how to help the most, and then there'll be marches all over the world. They're expecting it to be bigger than last year, and so I think they're thinking that in Paris there might be 1 million people on the streets of Paris, which is really exciting. And that's also, you know, of course, in the United States, I think there'll be huge protests all over the country. Sure. Our group is wonderful. It's we have really. I feel like I'm one of a group of leaders, and so really everyone has their different focuses, the things that they connect with, and our group is really. There's a lot going on with the separate individuals, but me, myself, it's been really nice connecting with people. I feel like really this part of the practice has been connecting with myself, connecting with people, and connecting with the earth. And that's kind of what I keep coming back to with all of it. That's where I feel like my refuge is. And so... yeah, it's been really great. Wonderful.
Is there a way to find out about the
place? Can I make a suggestion? Maybe.
No, I just wanted to find out if you have a website.
Sure. Well, we actually don't. We don't have a website yet. We have information on the Insight Meditation Center Berkeley site, and
it's insightberkeley.org.
And we can talk after the panel here, if and I can give you my contact information. We're working on all the social media, website, all that stuff, probably within the next few weeks. Do you want to wait for questions?
Yeah, I think maybe we'll do Q&A, hopefully, at the end. Yeah, I think we'll have some time to do that. Thanks.
Could we ask people as they speak to give contact info?
Sure, yeah.
Sure.
Although that won't be able to, but yes.
my email is Sean, S-E-A-N, Munding, M-U-N-D-I-N-G, @gmail.com. That's the easiest way to... That's Sean, S-E-A-N, Munding, M-U-N-D-I-N-G, @gmail.com.
Thank you.
Is this on still?
Thank you. I'm Betsy and part of the Green Group here, and just found out this morning that Augusto couldn't show up. And so I'm representing the Ecosafas from Green Gulch Farm. And so I'm going to read you the blurb that I have about them and then say something as well. So the Green Gulch Farm Ecosafas have existed in various permutations over the last 15 to 20 years, working to cultivate a deep awareness of how to live harmoniously with the natural world. They explore issues of sustainability, land management practices, and social and environmental justice, both by educating themselves and members of the Sangha, as well as for advocating for sound environmental practices and policies. We've met them. I've had the opportunity to meet with them a couple of times at Green Gulch, and I highly recommend it. I don't remember when it's open, but I know there's openings, and they have a beautiful garden that you can walk through. I think it extends all the way down to the beach, not the garden, but the pathway heads that way. The people were just, it was so motivating to go there, and they're sincere in what they do, highly motivated, sincere, make it fun. I just loved going out there to see them. So I recommend that. Sorry they couldn't make it today. We've also run into them in different walks and things that we've done. And so it's just nice to engage and engage with other green groups. Very prosperous, I think. Thank you.
Hello, my name's Debbie Perry, and I'm representing Green Sangha, and I'm going to start with a little story about how I came across this group. About 15 years ago, I saw a poster, and it was advertising that a group was being started by somebody named Jonathan Gustin, and I noticed he was calling it Love Without Boundaries, and it just described it as spiritually engaged environmental action, and that sounded really interesting because 15 years ago, there wasn't really a lot of talk about anything like that. And I had a lot of activist friends, and I was considered myself an activist, and I had a lot of my spiritual friends and here at Spirit Rock and other places. And I didn't see a lot of overlap between the two. And so I was, you know, found myself there in Jonathan's living room at the first meeting. And there we discussed changing the name because we were afraid Love Without Boundaries sounded like some polyamory group or something. So we're like, how about the Green Sangha? So that became our name. And since that first meeting, Green Sangha has gone through many changes and has expanded and then shrunk again and gone through different actions and types of things that we get involved in. But it's always been about activism based in oneness, compassion, and wisdom. And we have these eight beautiful guiding principles that we have on display on our table in the back that I invite you to read through. And I wanted to almost just spend the whole time talking about them, but instead I'm going to talk about some of our accomplishments and the projects we've been involved in and what we're doing now. So just briefly about our principles, our Sangha, working under these guiding principles, believes that our motivation must come from the recognition that we are not separate from any aspect of life, and that if we, as environmentalists, can consciously honor the shared needs and goals of every being for a quality world, even as we work for changes in the system, that we can make activism more joyful, more attractive, less divisive, and ultimately more effective. So our actions in the early days began with changes that we could choose to make as individuals to live more sustainably. We got a grant early on from the Marin Community Foundation and began giving talks in churches and schools about bringing these practices of spirituality and activism together. And at these talks and also at public festivals and events, we would distribute things like compact fluorescent light bulbs and toilet tissue made from recycled fibers and water-conserving faucet aerators, and just gave out action sheets to help, you know, encourage people to use these items. And these action sheets are still on our website, greensangha.org. And since then, we've done a lot larger collaborations with other groups. In 2005, we joined the Magazine Project, a national initiative urging magazines to increase the recycled content. And then through our outreach and work with this project, the two Buddhist publications called Turning Wheel and Tricycle both responded favorably and upgraded their recycled content. And then in addition, we were working with Spirit Rock and a couple of offices at Stanford University in switching to 100% recycled paper in their office. So those were felt really good to be able to accomplish. And in 2006, we launched our largest action to date, which was called Rethinking Plastics, and we're still doing that one. It started with meeting with Whole Foods leaders in Northern California, and eventually they did decide to eliminate plastic tote bags nationally in 2008, actually. And then we embarked on a public education campaign with this Rethinking Plastics, and up to date, now we have presented 290 talks and film screenings to a total of about 8,900 people. And we also helped in leading the successful Fairfax plastic bag ban and collaborated in Marin to pass three municipal single-use plastic ordinances. And through different talks and other outreach, we've influenced a drop in the use of plastic produce bags from a few local markets and farmers markets. And we've estimated that this has resulted in a savings of about 8 tons of plastic film per year. So some of our other projects include, there's something called the Garden Wheel in Sonoma County, and that is working to convert, hungry, water-hungry front lawns into fruit, vegetable, and herb gardens and native gardens. And then there's the student garden at Davidson Middle School, where Green Sangha and community volunteers have contributed thousands of hours in habitat restoration. And we also have habitat restoration going on in collaboration with the Green Gulch team. We have these ongoing seasonal watershed stewardship days. Once per season, we meet out there, and we help in various ways with habitat restoration in and around the creek. And this partnership with Green Gulch began with our grant that we got from the Marin Community Foundation in the beginning, because they were also one of the groups that got a grant, and we met regularly, and I got to know Suki out there, and we started these group meetings out there working with them. And lastly, of our projects, I'm going to mention that through the Low Carbon Diet Program in the East Bay and its companion in Marin, the Resilient Neighborhoods Program, Green Sangha leaders have helped participants reduce their household carbon emissions by over 200,000 pounds a year. So currently, our main focus is on our mindful leadership training. And so far, over 500 youth, civic officials, and citizen activists have attended our workshops in mindful communication and sustainability from within. And this fall, we're offering pilot workshops to schools and nonprofit and environmental organizations. So we invite you to join our monthly retreats. We have them in Marin and in the East Bay, and they're three-hour meetings that are what the retreats, basically, where we meet to meditate and have a Dharma discussion together and share an action, letter writing, have potluck. You know, it's a lovely way to spend an afternoon. And I also have, we invite you to join our trainings that we're doing now, the mindful leadership training. There's more information on the back table. And also I invite you to read those guiding principles. Those are on display on the big thing that's standing up. And then I have the sign-up sheet here that we can contact you if you're interested in actually joining our Sangha. So I'll take questions at the end or meet back at the table if you want to know more about getting more involved with Green Sangha. Thank you. Thank
you. So I'm Santisika Bikuni, and I'm going to talk a bit about the Buddhist Climate Action Network primarily, and I also want to make a mention about Buddhist Global Relief and tie together how those two organizations work on the two sides of this crisis. So Buddhist Climate Action Network is still in its very early formative stage, but it's thriving in a couple of areas, and it's basically the outgrowth of the experience some of us had last year encouraging Buddhists to get involved in the People's Climate March. There was a handful of us that would participate in the Green Faith weekly calls where faith leaders from around the country were working to inspire their faith groups to come to the climate march. And we had been given by the march organizers this one long block in New York. How many of you were there? Okay, you know. And the New York City police said that 10,000 people would fit on that block, and it was our job to fill that with faith practitioners of all kinds. And, you know, every week we'd hear about, you know, the 40 mosques that were going to be represented and the umpteen Unitarian Universalists and the handful of Buddhists that were trying to say, where are the Buddhists? Come on, let's go. And so it was a wonderful experience, both working with helping to organize the People's Climate Train that left from the Bay Area to go across the country to the People's Climate March, and then the People's Climate March itself. And one of the things that came out of that experience was seeing how the various sanghas in the greater New York area, greater New York City area, had come together. Sanghas that didn't even know about each other or the work that they were doing for the environment before that march happened. And that was really inspiring. A lot of energy got generated, and part of it was that they were hosting the rest of us and giving us space on their floors to sleep and learning about what one another was doing. And we came together. I think the guesses are around 800 or 900 Buddhists showed up in that march. And so we didn't want the energy of that to just fizzle away. We wanted to try to see, can we try to encourage that same kind of coming together in other parts of the country or the world, Buddhist groups that can meet, or not just groups that already exist, but people from different sanghas that are interested in coming together over the climate crisis and taking action and getting out there, raising the volume of the people for doing the right thing. Coming from a Buddhist perspective, so practicing together, bringing our practice and the Buddhist values out into the action itself. and including everyone who wants to participate, friends of Buddhists and groups that are already existing. So this is a network. It's not a new organization, really. It's a network to help connect each other and to help give people who are kind of feeling isolated, even though they would like to do something, a place to land. And the New York City Buddhist Climate Action Network group is thriving, and there's a really thriving group in the Tampa Bay area. And we haven't really quite coalesced here in the Bay Area yet. So we'd really love to see that happen. There's a group starting in Portland. There are a couple of others that are sort of on the verge of coming into being. But what I'd really like to encourage, if you're interested in participating in this kind of cross-Buddhist tradition, embracing and working together with the larger faith, interfaith movement and the secular movement, we bring in all the different pieces because we really all do need to work together on this. And so if you're interested in that, we have some cards back there with the website on it, BCAN. We also have a little flyer, and the first item on it is what Susan's going to talk about. She's one of the organizers, and Susan's group is part of BCAN in Sacramento. And there's also the specific information about the action that's going to take place on November 21st in Oakland that Sean mentioned. And there are the other actions Sean mentioned are also happening. And one of the things that hasn't really been organized yet, as far as I know, is for November 29th. There's going to be a global climate march, which really, as Sean said, people are coming from all over Europe. There are a number of marches, walks happening that are going to converge in Paris at the time of the talks, the COP conference. And then they're calling for Avaaz and other organizations are calling for marches and walks to happen here on November 29th. We'll see what emerges. By connecting with what's already being organized by other groups is the way that the Buddhist community can really make its voice most clearly heard. The Pope just came out with the encyclical, as I'm sure you know, 1.5 billion Catholics on the planet. The Buddhists can come together with them. We come together with others, and that's really how we can make the greatest difference. So that's part of what we're encouraging. And there are sign-up sheets in the back for the Buddhist Climate Action Network if you want to be a part of it. We have monthly conference calls that people can check into, and on those calls we have people who are reporting on the things that are happening internationally, the things that are happening nationally, what's happening in other areas. And I also just want to mention Buddhist Global Relief, which is a charitable organization founded by Venerable Bhikkhu Bodhi, and its focus is chronic hunger and malnutrition, so striking at the roots of poverty globally. This year, we granted $380,000 to 26 projects in 16 countries and a number of relief projects on top of that. And it's a small organization, but it's actually doing the things that are helping the poorest of the poor become more resilient in the face of climate change. Many of the proposals we receive and the projects we support are working directly with the effects of climate change and are working with helping people rise up out of poverty so that they're not so vulnerable and their farming is more sustainable. There are various kinds of things happening. So there are going to be two fundraising walks coming up in the Bay Area. And there's a sign-up sheet back there if you want more information. One is in San Francisco on October 24th. It's a great walk. You go from temple to temple and you learn about different practices. And the other one is coming up this coming Saturday in San Jose on October 11th. So you can find out more at buddhistglobalrelief.org. I think this is the Buddhist Global Relief trifold back there for your information.
Carrie, I don't think you realized how much everybody is doing and would have to talk about. So I'm Susan from Sacramento, which is east of the East Bay, east of the Bay Area. And I thought I would talk to you kind of about the genesis of our group there, our Climate Sangha, and kind of the organic way in which it has grown. I think it was 2 years ago, the teachers came out with their climate statement, and I had just finished teaching a six-week series of classes on Buddhist precepts, and it just dovetailed for me how the precepts, especially the ennobling aspects of the precepts, could be a way for us in our Buddhist communities to awaken with the climate, with the changing climate. And I mentioned that to a friend of mine who's like me, a community Dharma leader, and she said, I want to teach it with you. And both of us felt this will be a great offering for our communities. And we wound up teaching the series twice because it was so valuable to the participants and people wanted it again. But what we found almost immediately was we weren't doing this as an offering for other people. This was something we needed for ourselves. And the course evolved. We had a lot of exercises that helped bring how you turn towards the realities of the changing climate with a generous heart and with the love of the earth and with renunciation and everything that the precepts invite us to do. And with wise speech, we practiced, how do we talk to people who aren't on the same page with us, which was huge. So these classes ended and people didn't want them to end because the coming together, the connecting was so important. So we created, initially we called it a green sangha, but that felt too narrow, actually, because climate justice is such an important part of what all of us are having to be with as part of our day-to-day lives, the actually climate injustices that are going on in the world. So about a year ago, this group, the Green Sangha, that eventually changed its name to the Climate Sangha, started meeting, and very important always to keep our practice as a part of our meetings. And for the people who were coming, it was very much just a chance to be with each other, like-minded friends who were in pain, overwhelmed, wanting to have more of a sense of denial, also wanting to find things to do. And for many people, it was the home practices where they got started. Over time, actually, my friend Diane and I said to the group at the beginning, we're facilitating this getting started. We don't have room on our plates to be the leaders of this group, so you're going to have to join in. And so we did the first meeting. We meet once a month. The second meeting I led with one of the group members who volunteered. The third meeting he led with another of our group members, and it proceeded that way for a while. People started bringing in, I have 1 minute left, okay. People started bringing in the aspects of their lives that were being most affected, whether it was food or an expert on solar networking. It started being educational. And Aya Santachita, who was also part of the climate march in New York and lives in the foothills outside of Nevada, has joined our group. And she came in as a spark, really just at the moment everybody wanted to be doing something. And so we have organized an interfaith climate march. There are small flyers on the back table that will be happening November 1st. We're reaching out to the whole community. It's interfaith and secular, counts as interfaith, to bring awareness to the number of people that there are in Sacramento, your state capital. and I'd be happy to talk about it more. Thanks. Oh, there was one story James wanted me to tell. Our last meeting, there were some new people, and this wispy kind of looking woman, very gray in all aspects, walked in and sat, and we sit for 20 minutes at the beginning of our meetings. And at the end of the sitting, we do a check-in. Where are you in your relationship to the changing climate? And she was radiant. She said, I am so happy to have found you, to be able to be with you, to find people that I can sit with and learn how to bring my practice alive in these days.
Just briefly, her flyers are on the green Sangha table, and they're right next to the flyer that's about an event that we're having, a speaker speaking on this issue of climate change on October 27th.
Wow. Hang on 1 second. Can anyone tell me what time it is? 12:30. Okay, so, you know, Green Group, come and talk to us. You've seen us all, and I feel like we're very accessible right here because it is lunchtime, and I'd actually like to let Helga describe the ribbon project in the back of the room. We also have an Earth Care Week table, which offers various paraphernalia. It's kind of thrown together, but take a look. It tells you some about sustainability projects at Spirit Rock, as well as various flyers and all. I guess the one thing I will say about Spirit Rock, the Green Group, as well as the Ecosatvas, Betsy, is that I'm just very heartened by our model of being a workplace-based group, because, you know, it's a very different place to be organizing than outside of the workplace, and how much impact one can have if one creates a little group or club or whatever you want to call it that can then have a nice influence and be a support system. So I just want to plug that for others who might be in workplaces that could use a green group of sorts. Okay. Do you have a...
No,
someone behind you. Yes, so please, you've seen people, that's exactly what we're going to do. And that's why I'm going to pass this to Helga. So, you know, keep your eye on who you want to connect with. And Helga will tell you about a community, I'll let her describe, about her ribbon project.
Thank you. Yeah. Oh, hi, so such a privilege to be with you all here. I'm sort of representing the Spirit Rock community climate change group, or Spirit Rock Green Group, I suppose. A community green group, because we don't work here. We would like to. And it's just a very small group of community members getting together to wish to advance the message and maybe inspire the community by hosting more climate change awareness events at Spirit Rock. And we've been able to present the movie The Future of Energy earlier this week here at Spirit Rock, and Wes Niska was kind enough to host it or to be the MC for it. And today we're happy to introduce the Climate Ribbon Project. It's a project that was, it's an art project that was introduced at the end of the climate march in New York City in September of 2014. And were hundreds of thousands of people. They wrote their hopes for the planet and for things they really cared about and wouldn't want to lose to climate chaos on ribbons and hung them. And it was they had it a little more organized than we will be able to present it here. But we would like to invite you all to write on, we have the ribbons in the back on the tables, and to share with the community something that, you know, you really, you'd really want to protect and hold safe. And it's a little bit an affirmation of the solidarity to work together for that healthy planet and thriving, as it was mentioned. And we will, you can attach the ribbons to the ropes on the window there. And they will be displayed and added to throughout the week, throughout AirScare Week. And feel free to write several. We have plenty of ribbons. And they kind of symbolize our commitment and also our connectedness in those efforts. And there's more information if you want to get on climateribbon.org about those projects. And there's also the big plan to bring that project also will be a big part in November in Paris. They have big plans to have a... And we have sign-up sheets if you want to be a member of the... I have to apologize. We are very very little thing. But so you have the great chance if you want to be a community member from the Spirit Rock Group to make something that we can really have a group that will, you know, gel together and luckily have the opportunity to join with all those wonderful larger groups that have all the wonderful projects and actions, and to take part and support each other on a local level. And I don't want to take your time anymore. Thank you.
Okay, so thank you. Should I take a couple questions or should we head to lunch? Any sense of that? Lunch, okay.